The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com. The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFRP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at BeardedDragonGames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
So, hey, stop me if you've heard this one. I was in a taxi the other day and the driver said, "Hey, do you mind if I put some music on?" I said, "Not at all." He said, "Kiss?" I said, "Let's listen to the music first and see how we feel." That's one of my favorites. Nice. Gentlemen, this is your host D to the D, Dr. D, reaching out through the supervision free source of Infinity interfacing. I'm joined today by my newest partner in Infinitying, Ernesto the Fiesto. How you doing there, buddy?
Hello all, this is the first time I think I've ever been called that.
So today on Arachne, we're going to be calling Ernesto a lot of different things, and we're also going to talk about Adepticon, the greatest four-ish days of gaming. But first I gotta talk about business. Arachne is a part of the Professional Casual Network. If you would like to support the network, please sign up for our Patreon or purchase some hot swag at streamlabs.com, Professional Casual Network 1. And if you are getting a Patreon tier, please use the Digital Nomad tier because that directly helps us out. And it helps us buy audio equipment that constantly wants to break, which I think I've talked about ad nauseum, so I won't bore you. Personally, I am sponsored by Monument Hobbies. I'm hoping to have Jason on here at least relatively soon. So, absolutely love their paints. Use the code professional casual at checkout in all caps to get yourself a swanky little discount. And again, they'll know it was you went there because of us. And when that happens, I get to do reviews and stuff for the blog. So I have a box on the way of the new Adepticon paints that I am going to hopefully review and use as a blog on the PCN website here pretty soon. So keep your eyes open for that. We are also sponsored by Baron of Dice. Use the code Arachne at checkout to get a 5% discount. And it tells you that you went there because of us. They got some swanky new dice. I'm pretty sure they had a new set of stuff for the old world last time I checked. And I believe they put something else out recently. This is great radio. I completely forgot what it was. But I did see a banner for it. I know there's new old world. I don't remember if there was something else, but I know for a fact there was new old world stuff. So if you're in with the craze of it, jump on while you can, because the dice are beautiful. And we can never forget our sponsor, Mr. Laser at MrLaser.square.site. We got a new event for the event board, and thanks to Ernesto the Fiesto, he's managed to cobble my incredibly diverse thoughts into something coherent and readable. So everybody thank him if you ever see him outside in the real world. He's the guy with the hair and the glasses. So you should probably just go up unsolicited and be like, "Hey, great job, buddy." So first, Attack on Atlanta is in Atlanta, go figure, Georgia, on April 27th. We also have an event called the Resilience Ops at Tabletop Nexus in Plastow, New Hampshire. That's also on April 27th, which is also my birthday. Happy birthday, Dr. D. So I hope you guys really enjoy that. I'll be at the Plastow event. If you're in the area, you know, stop by, say happy birthday. Give me $200 and, you know, whatever you feel like, you know, it's fine. Just go with it. Whatever your heart tells you. Mannheim's May Marshall Moose Madness at the Pint and Pawn in Biddeford, Maine. On May 18th, I'm the best. Next is All You Need is Move, Shoot, and Dodge at the Squabbling Goblin in Belmont, right outside of Boston on May 18th. That is hosted by Woody. He is a great man. So again, if you see him, he's the guy with the glasses and the hair. So if you see him, make sure you give him a good handshake and you tell him really you're doing a great job, bud. I might be at that one. And then Iron Weld presents Magaribaville, which is just makes me laugh every time I see it, which is in Wakefield, Massachusetts on June 1st. It is a part of the Wicked Dicey stuff. So if you are interested in AOS, 40K, they'll probably have Heresy. They might have Blood Bowl. They might have all kinds of things. So if you're into those games, give it a check. Check it out. For real, though. So the main topic for today, we are going to talk about Adepticon. You may have heard of it. It is 4 days of gaming in Schlangenberg, Illinois, which is right outside of Chicago at the Hyatt Renaissance, I do believe. Or if you're playing Armada, they stuff you in the other the other hotel sacrilegiously. They're just like, get out of here, nerds. Take the hallway or whatever. We don't care. Just force them out of the hall. Oh, gosh. I absolutely love that game. I think it looks super cool. But anyway, Ernesto here, he is a veteran of the long war of going to Adepticon. So I've been talking for a long time, Ernesto. Give us a heads up. How long have you been going to Adepticon?
I started going to Adepticon in 2017 when one of my friends, Josh, showed me Infinity and got me hooked on it. So went from 2017 to 2019. Then, you know, the great COVID happened and wasn't able to get back to this year.
Yeah, the COVID definitely ruined a lot of fun for everybody. I was actually slated to go in 2019 as well, and then COVID happened. Funnily enough, I think I got COVID before it was quote unquote in the United States, which is a whole thing. I was pretty miserable there for a while, and I got so sick, I emailed them, and I was like, I don't think I can go to Adepticon because I feel absolutely terrible. And then go figure, a couple months later, they canceled it. So
yeah.
Kind of worked out. And then after that, I went to the first one that opened, which I believe was 2023. That was last year, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
So absolutely great time. I enjoyed it so much that I essentially pushed all the other cons to the side. And Adepticon is the con that I go to. So before that was Gen Con. And I think Adepticon trumps Gen Con in regards to model gaming for sure.
Absolutely.
So if you go to Gen Con and you're like thinking that you want something that's a little bit more on the model gaming side, I would heavily suggest you try Adepticon at least 1 year.
Yeah, Adepticon is great for that.
So we kind of, and by we, I mean Ernesto, divided all of this up in a way that is less schizophrenic than what I would have written down. So we're going to go through it his way because that's not exciting enough for him, I guess. The overall goal for the weekend for me was to meet up with my Florida buddies, play some Infinity, eat some good food, and meet some of the show fans. Thankfully, Adepticon has become a little bit of a geekend for a lot of the, like, it's a great time for you to get all your friends who are kind of like scattered to the four winds, you know, as life takes you in different places, and to all come together and to play games, which is obviously great. Even if you go to Adepticon without thinking about playing a game itself, you could just sit in the board game hall and just play there literally the entire time, which is definitely a good way to do it at Adepticon. I would do it if I could. How about you, Ernie?
Yeah, exact same reason. Not from Florida, but from St. Louis. I have a couple friends there that we used to go every single year. So making back up with them after a few years, haven't been there. Also, enjoying the con with new friends from Boston, Jay, and I guess you, Dr. D. Honestly, taking a breather. It was really nice to just get out of the day-to-day grind and get somewhere else.
Yeah, so our friend Jay, who does listen to the show, hey, Jay. Jay Prime, that is. He was actually lucky enough to go because he had some forgotten about wife credit, I guess. Yeah. I don't know if that's what you want to call it. So he had an opportunity to go, which was absolutely great because we loved having him. He's an absolutely stellar guy. And I have to say, the ability to escape, like you were saying, the daily grind, just to sit around for 4 days and just literally laugh at like every single thing. Man, what a recharge.
It is. It feels like, though, at the same time, at the end of it, you kind of need a little break from Adepticon so you can get back to real life because it's exhausting in its own self, in its own way.
Yeah, you need a buffer.
Yeah.
You need a buffer between the two things, that's for sure. So, Ernie, I'm going to let you go first. Was there anything specific that you were looking to play or get while we were there?
Yeah. Big things for me for getting was first is a swag bag. So if you have that advanced badge, me, it's really cool. It's a highlight of the event. You know, every year they give you some random stuff. It can be anything from a new game to a random game's unique figures. It's all over the place. This year was a big surprise. It included a bunch of full boxes, which they haven't really done before. Atomic Mass had Shatterpoint, MCP, and Legion, different sets of each one. And then Games Workshop had a full Combat Patrol. So I know in mine I got a full set of Tyranids. So that was quite surprising on that side. Outside of that, the big things for me were the new Imperial Bushido minis, the second game that I play that Dr. D has gotten me into. Hopefully not a third. Old World is starting to look pretty nice. The new War Snow releases, I'm a big fan of all of everything that Jay puts out. And then, of course, the CB releases.
So I actually forgot that in my bag, because I did get one through the different channels, I guess. But yeah, those swag bags, definitely well worth, you know, whatever the ticket for it is. You get that plus some.
Yeah, it's like a $65 or $75 addition from a regular ticket. So it's well worth it. And it's, like I said, it's just fun because it allows you also to get into some games that normally you may not have.
And because you figure, when I looked in mine, yeah, AMG is always big on these things. So if you just take the single X-Men box that was in, I think MCP boxes usually go for like around like 40 to 50 usually. So like one box in it almost pays for it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah. Like you figure the GW starter boxes, they're like, what, $270 now?
They're about $150. But yeah, they're still fairly expensive. And I mean, I didn't even talk about the big tank game that they gave us as well. I mean, they always have at least one large, like, two-player game every single year, too. I think last time I went 2019, they had Song of Ice and Fire. That was a release of that. So
yeah.
But it's always, like, it's always those neat games. And it, you know, it does drag you into the game because I know – after getting the big tank game, I did go over to Gale Force 9 and look at the other factions as well. It was pretty fun, pretty interesting.
I'm not a money scientist, but I believe that's what they call a loss leader.
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
Yeah, see, I did it. Anybody who listens to this, ask me about business advice. I'll tell you stuff, whether it's productive or not, God knows, but I'll tell you something. So for me, I was definitely looking forward to the new Torchlight stuff. I had eventually convinced myself that I was going to get it purely because if you listen to me on the O12 podcast, we do a Torchlight episode, and he was talking to me, Jordan was talking to me probably about a week before we go, and he says that we should do that episode, and I was like, fine, if I'm gonna do an episode, I better buy it and then like look at the profiles and see if you can actually build armies out of it and all that. And I did. I'm glad I did. When I was going to Adepticon, I was determined to spend the least amount of money possible because I know that every time I go to these cons, I spend way too much on games that people don't want to play with me because I'm a big historical nerd. And I'm like, don't you want to play with 1867 era pirates on boats shooting at each other with muskets? And they're like, how did you get into my house? And I'm like, you just left the door.
This is why you locked doors.
What are you doing? Yes, exactly. So I was definitely excited to do that. I did actually spend a lot less money than I was I did well. Let's just put it that way. I bought the things I wanted. I didn't buy anything extra. That's a great way to go to a con. Just guard your wallet.
Yeah, much better person than I. I pretty much bought everything I saw, so I can't say much.
But you're also a saint, and you enabled literally the entire state of Massachusetts.
I did buy some extra things, that's for sure, for the people up here. It was really nice, though.
And so you even enabled me before I even knew what was going on, because we play Bushido, and I had seen some of the teasers for the Kabuki stuff, and I was like, oh, I totally want to play that. Probably had never mentioned it to a single other human being, and you saw it, and it's like, oh, it's the faction that Dylan plays. He'll probably want this. So you bought it, and I was like, oh, thank you. I didn't even know it was a thing. Thank you.
Yeah.
So absolutely. You know what? Everybody give Ernesto a big Arachne thank you for enabling my addictions. And eventually I did go over there and I bought some stuff for Lunar. Lunar's a really cool game. If you like a super lightweight Necromunda, Lunar's a pretty excellent game. And there actually is Mars. The expansion for Mars is coming out at some point. So
Black Site made some very unique games that are really fun just to pick up and play.
Yeah, the themes that they have for their stuff, like Demon Ship and the Don't Look Back, I think is the serial killer game. All of them super like rules light, just silly time. It's great. It's actually the definition of a nuts and beer type game.
Yep.
So yeah, if you want something light like that, those games are great. Not sponsored. Hashtag not sponsored. So obviously we can't buy stuff without going to the dealer hall. What was something that you like, what was your favorite part of the dealer hall?
Oh man, all of it. It's one of my favorite things. I don't schedule events at the very beginning exactly for that, so I can be part of that initial rush going in, trying to go find the games, of course, you know, looking for like the con exclusives, always go there first, try to get those, and then just walking around and see the other ones. For me, I think one of the highlighted booths outside of, you know, Bushido and Warsnall was the Mantic booth. They had a new Halo game, which is Flashpoint, which is really interesting. It really caught my eye. So yeah, that was the big thing for me. And then, of course, as Dylan mentioned, I did have a few things to buy for our local people up here. I ended up filling up a full suitcase of models for everybody up here by the end of it with everything that I bought at the dealer hall. So, but luckily, everything got back home and safe, and everybody has all their goodies now.
Yeah, definitely got to say, there needs to be a U in every community. Just helps people get things like con exclusives and all that. So anybody that knows me knows that I love Cyberpunk 2077's setting. I absolutely love the Cyberpunk setting made by the Pondsmiths. A huge fan of it, always have been. Really never had a chance to play in it, but absolutely adore the... I love the books that are set in it. I absolutely love the setting. So when I was walking around over by the MCP area, heckling people, as I often do, I saw that Monster Fight Club had a game, a miniatures game that was based in the Cyberpunk universe. I had been vaguely aware of it, but I had never really seen it in person. And apparently, I'm a huge fan of the anime, so they have a new starter for it called Edgerunners, which was the name of the anime, which is absolutely one of my favorite animes of all time. I adore every second of it. That they are making that a part like of the game. Now, all the models in it, quote unquote, are like little paper cutouts as opposed to like actual models like it would be in the other starter. So I didn't buy it. I was incredibly interested in it, but I don't think anybody here would actually play it with me. And then I come back and I immediately find out there is a person around here that has some of it. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Why would you tell me that? Is it because I asked? Is that why you told me?
Likely so.
What a jerk. You know who you are. And so if you bought the box there, you would have got the moment that they call, or I'm sorry, you would have got the model that they called the moment, which is the scene at the very end of the anime. Spoiler alert, close your ears if you don't want to know how this show kind of ends, even though it's been out for a while. When Adam Smasher smashes Rebecca into a billion pieces, it's essentially the moment right when he's about to hit her. So I really wanted that model, but I didn't want to justify buying the box because I didn't think I was going to be able to get it home. So if anybody out there bought it and you're having buyer's remorse and you want to get rid of that the moment, please do. Please reach out to me because I will definitely buy that from you.
Yeah, the Edgerunner did look very interesting. The thing I didn't like about it was the acrylic models. I was really hoping they would actually make real models like they do with the normal Cyberpunk game. That was the only part that I was kind of sad to see because it would have been great to see those models and you know, not plastic. So.
They have said, they did tell me that they eventually will be getting models. Mm-hmm. It was just to get the starter out.
Interesting.
They had some like industry reason for doing it. So they were saying that the Edgerunner version of the game was made for board gamers, I want to say, mm-hmm. while the other version of the starter, I guess, is essentially made for people that play miniatures games. So they're like trying to bridge the gap. I don't know if it's going to work. I mean, I feel like every single time a company tries to do something like that, it never really works out that well, but power to them. I absolutely hope they do it.
Hope it does work out. Great to see more games like that out in the wild.
And games like, and even like you were saying with the Halo game, it's like, will Halo ever reach the vaulted heights of like, you know, GW games or whatever? Probably not. But the fact that it exists is cool.
Yeah. And it's bouncing off a great IP. So you have a already built in group of people who want to play it just because of what it is. So,
and you know, you can't blame them for trying. I wish him the best of luck.
Agreed.
So were there any new games or demos that you participated in that you would like to mention?
No, I've mentioned it a couple of times, but that Halo really caught my attention. And the main reason is my nephew is a big fan of Halo, the IP. And he's always, you know, talking to me about Infinity and the miniatures that I have for it. And I thought it would be a really good way of getting him into miniature gaming. It's very simple. It's very simple, basic movement rules, very combat rules, but it's a great entry point, in my opinion, because it does still have to do tactics, team tactics and the like. And it's a low cost. It's only about $100 and you get almost 20 models and everything you need to play the game. So, and you know, it looked really fun too, just as something you could pick up and take an hour instead of like the other games I play, which are 2 hours plus if I'm lucky. So
yeah, having a quick, that's kind of what Lunar does for me, right? It's just like a little stupid game. You just play, you're like, oh, just squishes your brain just the right way to get that dopamine out.
Exactly.
And if you get new people into miniatures gaming with simple games, that's even better, right? New people to play games with.
Exactly. Hey, you need that entry point. If you don't have that entry point, then, you know, it's hard for people to jump right into like Infinity. Even with Code 1, it's very hard for somebody who has no experience in that to jump in there. It's a very large gap. And I also don't want to start them with a Warhammer game because I don't want anybody to have to go through that pain and struggle like I did in the beginning.
Well, you know, that's what we call becoming a better person, learning from your mistakes. If you play 40K or any GW games on here, I still love you. Don't worry. I still enjoy the IPs and all that. But, you know, people change. People have different things that they value. All right. So I really, really enjoyed the Warcrow demo. I think that was the only demo I did while we were there. I did not play the Cyberpunk demo because I knew if I did, I would not be able to control myself because I'm an animal who has problems. Okay. So, Kara, I know you're editing and listening to this. I controlled myself. I got to play the Warcrow demo. So the Warcrow demo was being held at the Warsenal booth, which is usually where CB hangs out. I actually brought some Arachne shirts. I was going to give them, but apparently Carlos had, the rumor was that he was having a kid. I believe he was like had a second kid or something like that. And so he couldn't come. Obviously that's a fantastic reason to not come. Very excited to see him again. Boshria couldn't come this year either. Why I couldn't say, but they did send another one of their employees whose names I completely mulch every single time. So I'm going to let you say it.
Nope. I'm going to let you go.
I'm pretty sure it's pronounced Hope.
Close.
Oh, what is it?
No, that's good. I'm going to mess it up as well. So yeah,
it's H O O P O E.
Yep.
It is definitely, that's definitely not a language I speak. Just put it that way. She was absolutely great. She actually did the seminar for the CB reveals, I guess, if you want to call it that. And she's absolutely a little ball of fire. She's just absolutely adorable. She's great. The good news is that the people that you see that are passionate, like Carlos, when you watch the videos and all that, I'm assuming that's just an entire CB HQ wide thing because they're all just like really excited to be around people. And so I got to hang out with her for a little bit. And she kind of gave me a little bit on the inside, a little, I don't want to say inside, but she, you know, we got to talk some Warcrow stuff. And so I knew I was going to have to try that demo. So eventually I went there. I gave it a shot. It's very enjoyable. I've noticed that the rules for it have a lot of similar qualities to other miniatures games that I have played. The movement is very much like Legion, where you only really move like the unit leader. The dice remind me a lot of MCP in that there are triggers and you roll D8s. And it's definitely the same symbols as Aristea. But it's not the same dice, which is where I was mistaken. For some reason, I was thinking Aristea was played with D8s, but it actually is D6s.
Yeah, the move from D6s to D8s is interesting. I think it does add a little more dynamic there, though.
And the cool news, and the good thing is, again, I could be wrong on this, but all of the stuff that you use for the miniatures game is also used for the dungeon crawler. And I am beyond hyped for the dungeon crawler. So if the miniatures game is also excellent, then great. You don't have to buy a whole lot more stuff. I'm probably going to buy a bunch of stuff off Etsy because I'm a sucker. But I'm a victim here. Okay, I'm the victim here. So very, very excited for Warcrow. I gave the demo a shot. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited to see more. The good news is that the starter will be going on pre-order in, I believe, July.
July the 15th.
And it will be coming out at Gen Con, which is August.
Yep.
It's like beginning, middle of August, usually every year. So if you're interested in it, make sure you go to their website and check out some of the lore stuff. I'm still trying to desperately decide which of the factions I'm going to be super simping for. So, hey, threaten me with a good time if you want me to join your faction. That way I can say I'm going to play a single faction for an entire year, then bail out because you can't control yourself.
I was going to say, so you're going to buy them all and then you're just going to kind of...
All right, listen, I don't have time to talk about this. We got to get to the next thing. So, the events that we went to, I guess I'll go first. Well, you know what? You go first because you didn't have as many events as I did.
Okay. On Thursday, I didn't do any event. There were a couple of Infinity events. I didn't do those. There was the Adepticon seminar that Dr. D did mention. It was great to see the new Warcrow updates that blocks them out. Also, the Infinity updates were really neat. I don't play Ariadna, but new MMRF looked fantastic. And then the Ayla updates, which I do play, those were definitely ones I wanted to play, the Sofatec and the Atalanta. And then actually diving into games, the first game I played was that Thursday night was Great Western Trail. It was a game that Dr. D introduced me to, was something I actually was, he had to convince me to play. He constantly reminds me that he had convinced me to play because I wasn't feeling so well. And then, yeah, I I may have won by a lot. So it was a fun game. I will say that. So
yeah, we walked up to the table and he's like,
you had a game, my head hurts and I don't, and maybe I'll hang out with my other cool friends.
And so I was like, play the game with us.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, I harassed him. And Great Western Trail, we played Great Western Trail Argentina. Thank you. Make sure that they get the right game. It's actually one of my favorite board games. It's absolutely phenomenal. I one day wish to be a cowboy. And with games like this, it helps me assuage the deep, deep pain.
Preps you for the future. That's all every it does, day.
Yeah, it sure does. So that when eventually I go to Argentina and become a cowboy and hang out with mecanistas and guanchos.
There you go.
Go on a little adventure.
Yeah, so after that, Friday was really the first game played. It was the team tournament. Haven't played in the Infinity team tournament before. Me and Jay played. It was I playing Starmada. Jay played Attack, so played the Ruskies. We won one. We lost the second. And then the third, unfortunately, we didn't have an opponent. The opponent disappeared by that point. But overall, the games are really fun. You saw a lot of really meme lists. The first list we actually went against had two models that were showing on the list, so that was quite a hidden list. Sesvasti and IA, I believe, or not IA, just a regular Jing. But it was overall the game was really fun. So, and then from there, well, I'll let you go ahead and go because the ITS event we both played in, so I'll hold off on there.
So I started by going to Sforza's Day Off, which was the Infinity narrative event, which I believe was on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that was a wonky adventure. I keep forgetting the name of the guy that ran it, but James Pittman did actually help with run the event. Absolutely great guy. He's the one that runs Dogfinity, which I did not mention at the beginning of the show. Go to Dogfinity, pay for doggos to be get homes and all that stuff. That's something you should do. But it was a really cool idea of you joining a faction and then you would get like a character card. And your character card would essentially give you some kind of like ability or rule breaking thing that you could do. Mine was, I was in the restaurants guild. So we were all wearing chef's hats, which that's a whole story. So we were wearing chef hats and I got a chick who was using bullets to cook people. So all of my pistols got continuous damage. And I would get extra victory points if I killed three models with continuous damage on your pistols. I was not able to get that because that is very difficult to do because pistols are terrible and you don't want to use that. You know what? Let me tell you, Ernest, I know you're not great at the game, but you shouldn't use a pistol at 42 inches up against a sniper rifle.
Mm-hmm. Probably not going to end well for you. That is true.
Yeah. So that's your tip for the game. Your tip for the day, Arachnids. Make sure you take that person, you know, you take it personally. You take that and you do something with it. So absolutely really cool event. I won two, lost one. We didn't do all that great. I noticed. I think one of our team members must have been like selling points off to another guild or something. Cause I got some pretty good scores. I got like a 10-0 and a 9-0. And I felt like most of our teammates were doing really well. I don't know. Couldn't tell you. One of the best parts of it was everybody got a faction themed turret at the end of the event to take as a prize. So we got it's not Among Us. It's the Fallout. It's like a Fallout guy's thing where he's wearing a hot dog suit with two miniguns. So if you see me using this turn at events, just know that the restaurant guild for life, yo. And this, absolutely great. You should definitely do it next year if you have time for it. It's very laid back. It was a lot of fun. And by the way, I was playing US Ariana for all this.
And the only thing I suggest if you're playing in the restaurant guild that you do not wear a cutoff t-shirt or you will be escorted from the premises for being a hobo.
So I guess you have to, I guess we got to talk about it now. So I was wearing my Dunk Masters Women of Infinity Arachne shirt. Absolutely should buy it on streamlabs.com. And it's super comfortable. And I was wearing the chef's hat. So now I also got to set the scene. I am an actual real doctor. That is still a thing. And I cupped my arm because the tendons in my arms get a little weird after adjusting for like, you know, months and months without doing it. So I had a bunch of bruises on my arm. So I got these like yellow spots on my arm. So eventually they give me this chef hat. I walk and I'm walking around between rounds and I was in the MCP area. And Tisdale, who is this probably like safe to say is one of the second in commands for all of Adepticon. He gets a complaint from one of the people in the con hall saying that there's a homeless man walking around the con hall. And that homeless man was me, ladies and gentlemen. So he came up to me later and told me, and he said that he took care of it. But apparently, if you see a homeless man walking around a con, it might be me. Especially if they're wearing a chef's hat. So keep your eyes open for that. Anyway, so then after that was the Adepticon seminar for Corvus Belli, which we went to. That was great. And on Friday, which I believe that was also Friday, was the seminar. So me and my buddy, or that might have been Saturday.
Thursday was a seminar. Friday, you had the MCP. Same, you had the tag team like we had. We had on Infinity, you went to the MCP, right?
I went to an MCP team event with my buddy Saul. Had four very well. We played four games. Three of them were very good. One of them we went up against some Sweat Lords, and it was not a very enjoyable game. But we got to meet these people called the Borns. Him and his wife. Apparently, every year they make a display board based on whatever prize they get from the year before. So this year they had A-Force, and it was gorgeous. It was absolutely phenomenal. They're great. Some of the nicest people I think I've ever met. Absolutely love them. If you ever have a chance to meet the Borns, I definitely recommend it. And in the Armies on Parade part of Adepticon, they had a Mandalorian helmet like in the side of like a cliff. And then it was all of the Mandalorians that are in Legion, which I guess that was what they won last year. So they made a display for it. It was absolutely gorgeous. If you look on the Facebook Adepticon stuff, I guarantee you their display is on there somewhere. It was really, really cool looking. So if you have an opportunity to see it, I highly recommend it. Great people. Paid advertisement over. So next, we did play the board game night. Ernie cheated. And let's just say that when we sat down, I forced him to play and he just played his own game. And then the other three of us, we played our game. And I still think I might have got last. No. Saul got last. I got second from last. So it's my favorite game, but that doesn't mean I'm good at it.
Seems like a theme there.
Yeah, listen, if you live the life that I live, it's playing the games. It's not winning them. That is for darn sure. Dice. They hate
dice. Dice are a thing.
And there are no dice in Great Western.
I was going to say, but there are no dice in that game, but that's beside the point.
Listen, I don't want to talk about it. So then after that, we did the ITS, which was a two-day event, five games. The scenarios were butts going into this. I should not have gone with US Ariadna, but I had made the vow. I'm just going to say it now. It's already been announced on the O12 podcast. I am renouncing that whole thing because I can't take it anymore. When you don't have access to hackers and you have to shoot through everything, and then the people you play against pass literally every armor save, I was like, okay, I need a break. And the one thing that could have broken my vow would have been a new O12 sectorial. And look what came out. So that was the problem. Do you want to go over your games first, Bud? Because there weren't as many.
Yeah, there was not. So there were five events, Looting and Sabotaging, Supremacy, and B-Pong were the first 3 days. And yeah, they're rough. I will say half my opponents were really cool, really great people. Other half were, I think Dylan put it, very sweaty. It was definitely a hard event. Dice did not help. At one point, I was rolling for shooting on 18s and rolled two sets of 19s. That was fun. And the tables. The tables also, while they were beautiful, they were a little rough to try to get some areas. But overall, it was fun those first days. It just kind of grinded on me. By the time we hit countermeasures in day two, that one went not as good again. And by that point, Sunday afternoon, and I just retired at that point. Didn't play Biotech 4, which is the last one. And I wanted to just go hang out with my buddies back to Boston. So I retired and went out and hung out with them.
So I can truthfully say all of my opponents were pretty good. They were all great people. One of them is Captain Spud, who he was actually on Tactical Awareness, which is Ash's podcast. He actually talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And he did not. I guess he was going for Best Painted. He did get it. I guess he was playing with lights. But go listen to Tac Aware. It's one of their. It was like a short little thing they did for Adepticon. But that was, I actually played against him in his Bakunin. I said it right, Cyril. So take that. So I actually wrote some notes down for the games I played. The first game I played was 10-0. I passed many armor saves. So just so you know, it all balances out somewhere. Now wait till we get to the next part. Game two, and just to go over it again, it was Looting and Sabotage, Supremacy, B-Pong, Countermeasures, and Biotech 4. Let's just say that Supremacy is still one of my favorites. I still adore Supremacy. Looting and Sabotage is fine. Biotech 4 is, I don't think it's as big a deal as people seem to like to make it. It's not my favorite by any means, but some people despise it. It's fine. Countermeasures can be real random, and B-Pong needs to seriously be taken off of the game. It's so bad. CB, please get rid of it. It's so aggravatingly bad. Anyway, so first game I won 10-0. Second game I had a great game, but I definitely would have scored. Let me rephrase that. I would have scored much better if I had been more aware of quadrant placement, because it seems like every single time I play Supremacy, even though I love the mission, I always have a guy that's like half an inch, like too close or too far. But it was a great game. I was going up against IA. Great game. Absolutely adored every second of it. I can definitely say that Unknown Ranger went off in that game.
As he does.
As he does. Game three was against Bakunin. That was when I went up against Captain Spud. It was B-Pong, so I went second, so I won because I took a Marauder and I just pushed a button, and then he stood there touching it, playing tag with it, and then some Marauders really just tied him up in the second round. And if you score 4 points with turn one and two, you win, and there's really nothing they can do about it. So that one I did manage to win. Yeah, so there you go. Game four, I went up against Steel Phalanx, and every single time I go up against Steel Phalanx, I don't win. I think I've only ever beat Steel Phalanx once, and I got a really bad run against them. Achilles just walked across the table. I hit him with everything I possibly could. I put templates on him. I put him with, I might have hit him with a Panzerfaust at some point, and he just passed every armor save. Yeah, no problem. I did one wound all game. So he walked across the table, literally killed everything, and I was trying to kill him so desperately. Just wanted him to die, please. But I did manage to get the defensive bonus, I do believe, and yeah. It's a darn shame. And then game five, I went up against Cosmo. This is the game I lost it. The guy I was playing against, great guy. He was just so quiet. And in the halls, it's so loud. And so I can really boil it down to, I was getting a little flustered because I was hitting things. So one of my devil dogs went up and punched a Chernabog, you know, using smoke tricks and all that. He passed like all five of his armor saves. It just wouldn't die. I kept punching it, and I would beat it every time. Just wouldn't die. And he just passed everything. And like my devil dogs were going up and laying heavy shotgun templates on armor zero models. Just passed every save. Didn't matter. And it all really boiled down to Unknown Ranger was in a five man. I would have gotten plus three, and I made a roll. Completely forgot about the plus three mod for the five man team. Flubbed it real hard, and let's just say it didn't end well. And then Unknown Ranger died, and I lost my mind. So there was a certain point where I was like, okay, I'm glad we're done. And I called it up after that one, but great. It was, I actually still enjoyed the event. I would definitely do it again. It was cool to meet some of the fans. You could definitely tell Arachne is still one of the younger podcasts, because there's a lot of people that didn't know who I was. Not to be like narcissistic about it, but I was actually surprised that more people weren't at least aware of the podcast, which it just means there's a lot of room to grow, which is cool.
Exactly.
Then we went out and ate
a whole bunch. Yeah.
That was the day we went to get steak.
That is true. Saturday night.
And so we went to a place called Wildfire.
Yep.
Really, really good steak. It was one of the few opportunities I took where I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna splurge. I'm just gonna spoil myself. I'm just gonna go for it. And so I bought myself a big old ribeye, and man, it was good. So if you're in that area and you're looking for good food, definitely go to Wildfire. Very, very solid.
Yeah, definitely. One of my primary goals was when I went to back to the Midwest was to get hamburgers and steaks. Wanted to get the red meat, and Wildfire didn't disappoint. Definitely was went there twice actually myself, and both time just fantastic. So,
and he also introduced us to Raising Cane's, which was a chicken place, which I was not aware of. We had a local branch for which I will be frequenting. So, if you're ever at the Raising Cane's in Marlborough, Massachusetts, you might see me.
Yeah, it's perfect of when you're out there at 11:30 p.m. and have to find something that's not McDonald's. It's always a great place to go.
Yeah, seriously, if you need fast food and you want good chicken, like I thought Zaxby's was good. No, Raising Cane's probably my favorite like fast food chicken place at this point. All right, you had any big successes for Adepticon?
Yeah, I think the big successes for me was just hang out with friends, met some new friends, meeting your friends, Dylan, the Florida crew was great people. Meeting some people, like I said, meeting my friends from St. Louis, catching up with some of the players I would play there in that local meta as well, and the area was great too. So no, it was just for me, it was all about just reconnecting, and that's what I did. So that was my big success there. Games are always great, but I think that's the biggest part of Adepticon for me.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I always like to remind myself that it's not the games we play. It is actually the communities of the games that we play, which is why I think whatever miniatures game you play, you shouldn't be ashamed of it, because most of the time, if you're doing it for the right reasons, if you're playing it for the people, I think you're doing it right. So even if you play a game you don't like, you might be doing it for people that you do like. if that makes sense. So for me, I also, a big advantage to me was I got to meet up with all my friends who were from all over the place. So it was great to see the Florida friends. It was great to see, you know, obviously hanging out with the Massachusetts people. That was absolutely phenomenal. And I got to meet a lot of the industry people where I might be able to get them on the show. So people like Hope A and Jason from Monument Hobbies and just people like that. Jay from Arsenal is another one I'll probably have on here at some point. Getting to meet them, even though I knew for the most part, I kind of knew some of these people already, but getting the opportunity to ask them, hey, do you want to come on Arachne? And some of them even knew who we were. That's crazy. Like Jay knew who I was because of Arachne, but which I also used to play at his little like factory store thing that he had. But yeah, the fact that he knew what Arachne was, I was like, oh, that's sweet. People actually know about the show. So anyone that out here that's listening to this, if I ever do get to meet you, just know that I will be beyond excited to meet you. So definitely don't feel bad about coming up to me. Cause I'll definitely give you a big hug if you want one, unless you're Ernie. I won't hug you. you smell like cabbage.
What can I say? I'm very sad to hear that.
You big peach. So things to do different next year. What do you think?
For me, I probably will not play in the 2-day event. 2-day events are pretty taxing. And as much as I complained about it, you know, the people even complaining about even the people that are not as fun, they're still great people. That's the one thing about Infinity is there really isn't. I haven't met anybody who I really have just walked away and said, I hope I don't ever do that again or play that person again, which I unfortunately have had that issue with some other games I've played. But the ITS event just, it was too taxing for me. It took up 2 full days and I just, it really, like I said, catching up with the people was more important. We'll want to play other games, and I think in that point, so because everything I played was Infinity, so probably we'll stick with the team tournament. May do the narrative, but really play some Bushido, play some of the other games as well, I think is what I'll go for, and also shorter events. Dylan has mentioned the board games quite a few times, and I do think taking a step back and playing some of those would be fun as well. So
the board game hall is absolutely one of the highlights of the con. Just sitting there and playing games with your friends.
Yep.
Nothing beats it. Sitting back and thinking about it even more, I think next year when I go, I would actually like to play Arena Rex again because the Arena Rex events were at night after all the main events were done. And man, what a goofy time that is. I couldn't go this year because after I moved, I can't find my Arena Rex models. So I couldn't actually play the games, which stinks. But hopefully next year I'll either have bought new stuff or at least found where I put the old stuff. And yeah, definitely we'll probably do that next year. I do agree. The 2-day ITS event is exhausting, and knowing that I'm probably not good enough to actually like get anywhere near at least the middle, it's almost like I might as well just play something else. Because like thinking about like, will I ever have a chance to go up against like Cobra Prime and walk away as a winner? Like probably not. He's one of the best players that's ever played the game, and he probably plays way more games than I have the opportunity to. You know what I mean? It's like you got to pick your battles in that regard. It was a great time.
We are very lucky on the coast here. We do have quite a few satellite tournaments as it is, just within a few hours drive. I mean, I think there are what, 4 this year that were within say 6 hours. And so going to Adepticon to play a satellite event feels kind of wasteful because you could also, you know, just focus on the satellite tournaments over here. And then, like I said, use other time to spend with other games and friends.
I do agree that Bushido is something I probably would like to focus on maybe a little bit more next year. If you win a Masters, you get to make a model for that faction. So I've had the idea because the Kabuki faction just came out and I would like to become at least semi-competent with it. If you can win with Silver Moon, I'm thinking there's got to be some kind of trap man female character for the Kabuki. He's got to be like, you know, he's got to be an actor. There's got to be some kind of thing like that. And I'm like, that would be an excellent character to include in the game. Absolutely phenomenal.
I play smaller factions when I play Bushido, so I would like to win and just add another character to those factions because they're really fun. But unfortunately, because they are only 8 to 10 models, you really don't see a lot of change there. So, yeah, that would be the fun thing for me. But yeah, I agree. The Bushido looked really fun. The talking to them really kind of energized me about playing the game even more. So ended up. When because of talking to them, I ended up with a full Imperial army now. So I have 2 armies now that I gotta, get painted. So yeah, they'll be going over to Dr. D's way in a bit. So
yeah, that's me. I paint. I paint okay. So yeah, hopefully you'll see my Kabuki stuff. I gotta start posting pictures on the Facebook more. I'll actually start posting my Bushido stuff. Actually, think I'm knocking it out of the park. I've at least painted the big boy Fudo. He looks great.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Kade is right behind him. So definitely love the game. And I should say, in my whole thing, actually, because the notes say it. So I was actually talking to some of the people that run Adepticon, and I was thinking, if Warcrow does take off as much as I hope it does for me, I might actually volunteer to be the one that who runs it it may not be a next Adepticon because the whole game might not be quite out, but the year after that, more than likely enough of it will be out to actually run an event for it. So I might be the one running it. Anyone who listens to this podcast, if you are curious about Warcry, I'll probably talk about it on this show. Not to say that it'll become the main focus by any means, but there will probably be episodes that are centered around it. So if you're excited for that, please stick around. It's definitely going to be something I'm passionate about. I hope you look forward to that.
One of the cool things that I did notice, and it might be one of those things, even if the full game isn't out, they had at least one game of Defiance. They had a couple tag raids. So even if it's just playing the dungeon crawl, it might be one of those things you could do too. So there's a lot of opportunity at Adepticon to just, you know, play any games or run some of the games. It's really great. The one thing that we didn't do, neither of us did, which was surprising, was there are a lot of painting seminars, painting events. And I do not paint anymore, but it was one of those things to where they're always really fun to go to and learn some new skills too. That's one of the areas that, you know, I actually don't go to. And but I know a couple of our friends who did.
And the cool thing about the painting area is you have access to like a lot of painting celebrities who are just like kind of over there. Like Ninjan was just like over there. Miniac was there. Oh man, who else? There was like so many other ones.
Yeah, I was gonna say
I think Mini Witch was there.
Mm-hmm.
You can take their classes.
Yeah, and
which is awesome.
Yeah, and their classes fill up fast. It's one of those things you have to hop on when it first opens up. But still, it's great. And even outside of the classes, they just have a painting area that just has pretty much any paint you could possibly think of, just to go and, you know, sit down, paint what you want to, and just have a good time as well. So
I ate most of it.
It's delicious. You got to clean it up somehow. You know, where's that paint going to go?
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, how was the trip there for you?
The trip there was very unique for me. So instead of flying or driving, I actually took a train. So first time I ever been on a train, wanted something that was a little relaxing. Didn't want to fly. Flying for me is not relaxing. It was a 22-hour train ride. So it was a little longer than I expected, but I had a sleeper car. So it was just relaxing both ways, allowed me to decompress from, you know, from work to and home to the con, and then from the con back. So that was really nice. And it also allowed me to take as much luggage as I possibly can. So I had, like I said, I had a full suitcase just dedicated to minis plus the other things on there. So that was kind of nice to do there too. So
it should be. I should say I was in the Worthy. I don't know if anybody was there. You saw it. It was the Daredevil and Electrifighting the Ninjas. It just occurred to me that I hadn't talked about that. I didn't win again. Swung the bat again. Didn't hit anything. And actually, no, I did. I definitely did hit the kid with the Coke bottle glasses with the bat when I swung it because he was standing too close. Yeah.
Got to pay attention more.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Listen, I told the police officer that it was not on purpose. And it's a good thing I was faster than him. I ran. I've ran for my life. I ran to the Armada part of the con, so that nobody looked for me over there.
So I know my travel was pretty good back and forth. Doc, I know yours wasn't as comfortable as mine was. It was a little more eventful.
Listen, I was trying to push it off, okay? I didn't want to talk about it. Listen, so when I took a plane. When I was going to the O'Hara, I bought a priority pass because I knew that if I had waited for boarding 9 or whatever it was, they were going to take my bag and put it in checking. And I was like, no, this is not what's happening. So I bought a fancy ticket. I definitely recommend this to anybody listening to this. If you're bringing models, do not let them leave your site if you can do anything to avoid it. So I bought the priority ticket and I kept that sucker with me the entire way through. On the way back, I was not so lucky and I decided I'll just put my backpack into checking. So that way I can use my model bag as the carry-on. They were like, that's a little weird, but I was like, it's fine. Just take the backpack, please. So they let me do it. I had to argue with them about it. It was great. And so I got on the plane and they put me in the part of economy, I think is the word they use for poor people on planes. So I got the seat right behind the plastic wall where the rich people were eating caviar. And so I didn't have a place to put the bag. So they said, we have to take your bag because you can't just have it sitting out. So they took it and they checked it in. Isn't that great? The thing I tried to avoid. And so that I had to argue to avoid. They just took it anyway.
Yeah.
Gotta love American Airlines. So they took it and I picked it up on the way home when I got back to Logan in Boston. And I didn't even open my bag for a little while because I knew it was going to be real sad. Everything was magnetized to the mat, but I'm sure they didn't exactly place that sucker gently in the airport, so or in the plane. So I opened it up a couple days before one of the Infinity events up here, and I was like, I see. That's all fixed. So thankfully not much in the way of paint chipping. It was mostly just broken parts. So it all ended up fine. It was a little stressful, but everything's fine. And I put them all in a case. I'm not going to touch them for a little while because I can't play US Ariat anymore. I'm losing my mind. I want Torchlight. I want big blue stompy boys to punch my enemies with justice.
Torchlight looks fantastic. I'm looking forward to seeing it on the table.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be exciting to get it all painted and get it on the table so that I can beat Jonah in a painting contest. He's going down. Got nothing to say about that, smart guy.
Well, I'm just glad you put him on notice. I have nothing to say about painting competitions. I am checked out of those. So.
You're going down, Jonah. Okay, so final thoughts. Is there anything that you would like to say or people that you met?
No. Biggest final thought for me was just going back next year. I'm going to go see my friends, Josh and Mike. They're the booth babes at CB. So I always was hanging around there constantly. So bugging them. So definitely going to do that again. And I don't think I'll take the train again. As fun as it was, that a full day of back and forth is a little much. So look for a different way to get there. But that's the biggest thing for me. So like I said, just definitely going back. So missed it quite a bit.
Were you thinking about walking?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I figured that's going to be the fastest way to go.
You better start walking now. I'll see you there, man. So same similar thought. I had a great time. Definitely don't regret much of anything. I think that MCP might be the thing I give up, that team event. It's fun and you meet some really, really cool people, but it's another one of those situations where you have to be so picky with your events that all of the team events happen on the same day, which is cool. But it's like, maybe we just do the Infinity team event next year. Maybe we join you guys. The MCP team event is absolutely phenomenal. Five rounds, man, is brutal. Five games. I still like the game, but man, once you play Infinity, most events are only like three games, which is great. Definitely was feeling the lack of endurance. The mind was willing, but the body was weak, bruised.
Yeah, you really hit the nail on the head. You know, there are so many events there, and it's, you really have to be choosy when you go there and pick and choose what you want to play and what you don't, because I can't even imagine playing five events. When you told me that they don't stop playing events until I guess one person has an undefeated record, that's crazy to me. So
yeah, it makes me wonder, like, what is the point of the tiebreakers?
Yeah. That is a fair point.
I'm just like, why? Hey, well, whatever, you know, game for every, or what is it? Different games for different strokes or whatever it is.
There you go.
I don't think that's how you say that.
Close enough.
Yeah, it's close enough. It's a derivative of what you should be saying. Anyway, yeah. So if you ever think about going, I am going to Adepticon every year. It's an absolute non-negotiable. Doesn't matter who I work for or what they think, if I am approved for it or not. I'm going to say, I'm not going to be here on these probably 5 days. And they're like, but we can't have you off. I'm like, that's a shame. I'm not going to be here. I'll see you later. Bye. And so that's what it is to me. It is absolutely a phenomenal time. If you have the opportunity to go, I've even written articles on how you can try to address it financially. Some of the pitfalls that can happen that is on a Professional Casuals website. And I'm actually thinking about doing a review article. That one may or may not happen. So don't hold me to it, but it definitely is a great time. I would make it an event that you bring your friends with you, because you will get so much more from it if you have people to share the experience with. Because if you don't, you'll definitely have a lot of time, but you're going to feel kind of lonely, even though there's like a million people around you, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. It's one of those things to where it does give you some time to, you know, to hang out with your friends and meet new friends and just enjoy games that other people that, you know, share the same likeness with you. So.
And even if you don't have people that want to go with you, I would actually even volunteer that you should get involved with somebody. Like, go there and be like, hey, I don't have any friends because I'm lonely and my name is Dr. D and I want to help out and I like Infinity. Can I help out with the booth or whatever? You actually might be surprised that they could actually use your help in the hall because they need volunteers. They always need volunteers.
That is true.
So that's a great way to meet people and to not be me. You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want that, would you? You wouldn't steal a purse, would you? You wouldn't be Dr. D. So, yeah. I think we did it, Ernie. I think we talked about Adepticon.
I think so. I think it was very fantastic. It was fun.
And I was desperately trying to think of different things to call you while we were doing this episode, but there's really not a lot that rhymes with Ernie.
I was very disappointed that it was only two things that came up. I was expecting more from you.
Well, listen, I guess I'm going to start calling you Ernie the Fernie, which doesn't make any sense, but it does rhyme.
I guess that's a way to go.
So, Arachnids, if you have something that I can call Ernie, send me an email at furypainting@gmail.com. You can, or send me a message on Discord. I'm Dr. D. That's dr.d on Discord. And also, I should specifically say, if you have events you want me to shout out, send me the emails or send a message over Discord. Discord, I'm always much more quick to answer on the emails. When you get busy at work, I keep thinking, I really got to open that up and look at it. And then I always go like 2 weeks before I open it up. So, if you definitely want me to do stuff like that, announce anything, a marriage, your mortal enemies that you have taken an eternal vow of vengeance on, I'll do it. Send me a message. Anyway, how about you? Can anybody find you anywhere, Ernie?
Nope. I am completely hidden in the world. So
you hear to hear Ernie the Gurney. He is definitely not something you're going to be able to talk to. You got to go through me.
That is true.
So, guys, if you like this episode, give us a 5-star review. We need those to keep us alive. And we need more people to hear about us at Adepticon. We need to have like a party. If there's enough of us, we could all go to Wildfire and buy really expensive steaks and drive the serving staff there insane. Doesn't that sound fun?
New goal for next year.
Yeah, for sure. So please help spread the Arachnid love. We definitely absolutely need every review that we can get, 5 stars or otherwise. A written one is always better. Please on Spotify and Apple, I think, are the most effective ones. But even if you just write it down on a piece of paper, throw it in a hobo fire, that's enough for me. You do that because it puts the magic out there. It puts a magic little flakes of magic in the air. So give us reviews and all that and make sure you tip your waiters. So take it easy, Arachnids. Thanks for listening. And make sure you keep it popping out there and don't let Aleph get you. Got anything you want to say?
Nope. I got no catchphrases.
Next, we have Mainheim's Main Marshal Moose Madness, which is at the Pint and Pawn in Bidford, Massachusetts on May 18th. It's not Massachusetts. I don't know why there's an MA there. That is definitely Maine. So if you're listening to that, Kara, make sure you put that in the bloopers because I'm an idiot. That's not what that that's not what that state is at all. Anyway, like I was saying. So, Kara, I know you're editing and listening to this. I controlled myself. Do like a little like confetti little kids like cheering thing after this, please. If she doesn't do that, I'm going to sound real stupid. Thanks to you, viewer.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2E actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolfthorpe actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. and on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork. We've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.